so we begin a new section tonight, Reishman Gimel. We sort of touched on you, and I've given enough shir about Moses Kodu that I didn't feel like working through it again. Yeah, I covered it at the end. So now we turn it to Reishman Gimel, the new simon. I guess in the tour, Hilchos Kavu Talmud Chacham, the Lord is honoring the Talmud Chacham. What is the source for doing Kavu Talmud Chacham? So there is some prominent Gemara, one of the Tanayim commented as he was going that he was able to darish. The Gemara tells us all the Essen in the Torah, all the time that it said S, until he got up to the word Es Hashem Elokei Fatira. So he got to Es Hashem Elokei Fatira. He said, well, it can't be anything besides Hashem. So he said, it must be that it was wrong. So Talmid may ask, well, what do you do with all the other S's that you were darish? All the other times it said Aleph, Tuf, S, to which he responded by saying, well, just as I got schar for what I darshan, I'm also going to get schar for not speaking. So that is a similar pauses, okay, and then, and this was the way it was until along came Rabbi Akiva, who said, S, Elokim, S, Hashem, Elokei Fatira, including Talmidei Chacham. So that is one of the sources for this idea. So there's a bit of a question whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan. This idea, and if it's learned out from the word S, so what's the status of that? Is that a mitzvah, or is that a d'oraisa, or is that a d'rabbanan? So the second shurish of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos is about that issue, not about that particular issue, but the general issue of things that are darshened out using the Gilgamesh Midos Shatar Nidreshes Behem. What's the status of that? Whether A, do we count it as a mitzvah? Is it a din d'oraisa? Is it a d'rabbanan? And the Ramban has what to say about that as well. But I didn't work through the entire thing. But anyways, this issue comes up over the course of that discussion. So there is such a concept called Kavod Talmud Chacham in general. We've really only discussed Aleph Reishman Beis was the issue of Kavod Rabbo. This is a little different. This is Talmud Chacham in general. Now, how do we treat Talmidei Chacham that are in the city? So it'll open up with the following. So it opens up with an interesting din to kind of use as the foil for the rest of the discussion. So take a look at the Torah. The Torah says, Talmidei Chachamim ein yotzim ba'atzman im shar ha'am lasos bevinyan v'chafirus shel ha'medina v'chiyotzim behem. That if you have a Talmud Chacham, so he doesn't have to go out with everybody else in order to do the building and the digging of the Medina, right? It sounds like it's describing some kind of kibbutz. Everybody decides we're going to go ahead and do this public works project, so the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to go. Why? They should lo yisbazu b'fnei ma'aretz, that he won't be mevazes, so he won't be degraded in front of the people of the land. Now, I'm not sure Amaretz is necessarily. I think there's a whole history of the term Amaretz when it was used to denote the regular person versus it was a derogatory term. I don't know if it's necessarily a derogatory term. He just doesn't go out with the regular people. He's going to stay in and stay separate. Fine. So then he
talks about many Talmidei Chachamim that they were storekeepers and
Hold on a second. We'll talk about the storekeepers. So Medvar Mamur says the tour continues. What are you talking about? It's going to get worse. Don't worry. So Kishikol Echad are more difficult for us modern people to understand. So what are we talking about? Kishikol Echad Yotzei B'Atzmo. That's when everybody goes out themselves. Avali Main Yotzei B'Atzmo. If they're not going out themselves, but they pay others in their stead. Oh, govim mamum neir, or they collect money from people in the city lasoso to do the work. If it's something for their general benefit, kagon be'eru samayim v'chiyos, for instance, digging wells, chayvim lateis chalcham. That's the case, so he donates to the cause. So if everybody agrees that we're all going to get together and dig this well, everybody give in $50 and we'll pay some dude to dig the well, so nobody's going out and digging the well. So which is Talmud Chacham is at the same standing as everybody else. It sounds like he would give the $50 towards the digging of the well. Aval! Okay. But, so this is the next exception, Aval davar shetzarech l'shmir se'ir, but if it's necessary for the watching of the city, kigon chomo se'ir, like the walls of the city, umigdol seha, or the towers, v'schar shomre'ir, or paying the watchmen, se'enam chayv m'latis behem klum, the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to give money towards that. Why? She'en tzrichim shmira shetorasan mishvarasan, because he doesn't need the watching, because the Torah guards him. That's what this says, based on the Gemara. We'll get to the Gemara later on. But this obviously has some serious ramifications with regards to the security situation in Eretz Yisrael today. Right, that this is used as this is very much used as the claim to say why we don't go to the army. So v'lachein. So therefore he continues v'lachein p'tur mikol mine masim v'tashchorios. Misim v'tashchorios is also therefore they are exempt from all these sorts of taxes, whether they're taxes that are set al kol bnei ha'ir b'masri who cuts of al kol ish v'ish, whether it's like a tax that was imposed upon the city and the city's responsible for coming up with a net sum, or whether it's a tax that's imposed on each and every person by themselves b'nei kavuin b'ishim kavuin, whether it's established or not established v'chayv b'nei ha'ir l'fro b'shvilan osan ha'katsuvin al kol ish, and everybody is obligated to pay on his behalf. His amount that he has to pay, and the Rush adds in, right? The dafka tamid chacham period. Okay, so that's number two, right? So if there is a tax, so he is exempt from taxes, even if it is a tax per person, he's still exempt from taxes. Okay, now who qualifies? You're good with Bob. You're saying yeah, that sounds good, right? So continues the Rush, and the Rush says, who is this Talmud Chacham we're talking about? Right? Anybody who learned goes to Shir once a week? No, but Dafka Tamidi Chacham Shetorasenu Nasan. Right, this term you might sound familiar, right? These are only talking about Tamidi Chacham that claim or that it is. They don't just claim it. It is the Torah is their livelihood was the general translation. About im ein Torah sinum nasa, but if it's not true, if that's not the case, that Torah is not their livelihood, if it's not their main thing, chayven, then they would be chayven to pay these things. Umeyu, im yishlo ma'at umnos, o ma'at masumata, let's say he has a little bit of a side hustle, right? He, I don't know, sells mezuzahs on the side or something like that, right? He's parnei spoke kadei chayev in order to make a little bit of a living off of it. V'loli sashim, he doesn't mean to get rich off of it, he just needs to make a little bit of money. V'chol shashu panui mi'askav chozer al divrei Torah. And every moment he's free from his job, he goes back into his divrei Torah. V'lomed tadir nikrat, and he learns regularly. Nikrat terasu umnaso. If that's the case, then he's continually put into the category of terasu umnaso. So your saba in Savannah, Georgia, right, would probably qualify as this. Terasu Nasa, no? Didn't say your grandfather, didn't he like sit in the back of the store and his wife was in front of the store?
In Troy Hitchin.
Ah, okay. Didn't continue when they got to this country?
Oh, yeah, New York.
New York.
Yeah.
There's a different relative that was in Savannah?
His sisters were in Savannah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that probably gives us enough to get started. I don't know, though, we can take a look at the first comment that the Beis Yosef makes. The Beis Yosef is quoting, this is all coming from the Gemara in the Sefer Baba Basra. The Gemara
Baba Basra. His wife had his store.
Right.
Yeah. He didn't do it. He just loaned.
Right. Okay. So the first Beis Yosef in Reish Ben Gimel. It says Aleph and Bays out there. So he's quoted, the Gemara is somewhat complicated. I found it a little complicated because it's kind of coming at you from different parts in the beginning of Baba Basra. Baba Basra discusses how we, you know, how these partnerships function. If you have neighbors who could force whom to do what. That's what the beginning of Baba Basra is talking about. So there it says, Beperakama de Baba Basra, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hakol la'ugle gafa. That one should collect for the closing doors. So one would collect even from the Yisomim, even from the orphans, but not from the Rabban. They don't have to pay this. And Hakol l'chriya pasya, but they all would give towards the digging of the wells, afilu me'rabanan. However, v'lo amran el delo nafki bachluza, that's only if they don't themselves go out to dig. Aval nafka bachluza, rabanan lav b'nei mefa bachluza ninu. But if they're going out to dig, the people themselves are going and doing the digging, the rabanan, they're not known for their digging skills. Right? They're not going to be amongst those that are going to go out. There's also a Gemara a little bit earlier, it's not in order here, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Rama Deshura Arabanan, that Rabbi Nasiya wanted to place the cost for the walls on the Rabbanan. Amar Leirish Lakish, no, Rabbanan lo tzrichin etirusa. The Rabbanan don't need that type of protection. Now, it's a little bit, there's another Gemara here that actually gives the source for this. The Gemara makes a comment, that's Amad Aleph here, that Rav Nachman Bar Chista Ram Lekargan Arabana. I don't know why this isn't quoted by the Beis Yosef. But another Gemara, that he, Rav Nachman Bar Chisda, wanted to impose a tax on the Rabbanan. Amarle Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, of the Raisa Vad the Nevi Vad the Chsuve. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chasita, you are violating a pasuk in the Torah and in Nevi'im and in Ksuvim. Right? All three. In the Torah it says, Afkol Fev Yamim Mim Kol Kodeshav Yadecha. Right? That's in Zos HaBracha. Right? He loved his people. All the holy ones there in your hand. Even when you love, even at time when you cherish the peoples, kol kedoshav yu biyadecha, the holy people of Israel will still be in your hand. They sit at your feet. Tani Rav Yosef, elu tamid chachamim shemachartim ragleim meir leir mudinu ledinu ledinu Torah. They go from place to place to learn. Yisamid derasecha, they receive your words. Lisa v'litim b'dibrosav shalmakum, they debate your words. But what is that? Kol kedoshav yu biyadecha, meaning all of the kedoshim will be in your hands, and you'll take care of them. And therefore, they don't have to pay these taxes for security, plus you're going to be the one that's going to take care of them. Okay, so that's from the Pasuk. Not so clear. But the other ones, on the Nevi'im, it says, it's a Pasuk in Hosea, Gam ki yisnu b'goyim atak kapsim v'yechalim mi'at u'masa melech sharim, that even when they ingratiate themselves with the nations, I will gather them now, and they will be somewhat humbled by the burdens of the king's officers, meaning they will have to pay. Then there's this teaching, Ula says, itanu kulu, if all of them study, atak kapsim, I will gather them to Israel. But if some of them study, yachlu mi'masa melech sharim, they will be exempt from the king. That tax. So that's the second pasuk that seems to say they're exempt from taxes. And the third one is the most clear. It's in the pasuk of Ezra. Minda velova halach lashelas lemir me'alehem. That the pasuk says in Ezra, it shall be unlawful to impose upon these taxes, levies, and tithes on these tamid chachamim. So, and minda is the minas hamelach. Right, Balu is the Kesef Gilgusa, it's the head tax. Vahalach Zuar Nuna. So who's the one who said that? That was Daryavish himself. Daryavish himself said that we're not going to impose these taxes on the Tamid Chachamim. And there you see that they're not supposed to impose these taxes on the Tamid Chachamim. Now some ask that who says that that's the din? Maybe that was like Ezra convinced them. Like, you know, Ezra convinced Daryavish to pass a parsonage allowance or something like that. Right? Who says that that's actually the halacha? So. Who did I see raise that issue? I think the answer is, I forgot where I saw the answer, that no. Ezra wouldn't have imposed it unless it was the halacha. But anyways, that actually seems to be talking about. It doesn't necessarily distinguish between taxes for security versus taxes for the general well-being, right? So, what's in and what's out? So, with that, take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. There's a long sifa, well, the file's not so long, but the phrase is rather lengthy in the Shulchan Aruch. And here he says, so Sif Aleph, Reshmem Gimel Sif Aleph, Tamid Chacham lo hayu yotzen ba'atzman im shara am, lasos b'vin yivchafiru se'ir v'chi yotzen b'zeh, that Tamid Chacham would not go out with everybody else in order to go and dig the diggings for the city, right, canals and stuff for the city, shalei yisbazu b'fnei amei aretz, v'kivin sh'im p'turim afilu achim b'mekoman in sochrin. And because they're exempt, those that replace them don't get paid. I'm not sure what he means. I assume he means they don't get reimbursed for the extra work that they put in on behalf of the Tamid Chachamim. It's just, that's just included. Everybody just does a little bit more. It's not that Tamid Chachamim, because they're not going out to work, they're going to pay that amount. If everybody's going out to work, so then they stay back and they don't have to pay. Right? That seems to be what the Mechaber is saying.
It could mean that they don't have to hire someone to replace them.
Right, they're
Chachamim.
Yeah, they don't have to find someone.
Not only don't go out to work because it would be not proper, but also not required to pay a substitute.
Right.
Maybe that's what
they're not. Well, remember the premise was that they would pay for these types of things only if they're paying someone, but if they're going out, so then they don't have to pay. Right. So comes Shulchan Aruch and say, yeah, and if everybody is going out, then they're not going out, so they're also exempt from paying.
Right.
Okay, so comes the Shulchan Aruch and then says again, "Medvar Mamurim, Kishakol Adam Yotzei Ba'atzma." That's how everybody goes out. Aval Yemein Yotzei Ba'atzma. They're not going out by themselves. El Sochan Acherim. They're paying someone else. Pimul Kolman. Oh, Govin Mamum Livnei Ayir Laso. So, or they're collecting money in order to do it. Im Davar Shetzaruch L'Chayi Adam. If it's something that is needed for people, Kigon Be'Eros Mayim V'Chiyotzei Behem Chayim Lates Chalkam. For instance, wells. For instance, like wells for water. So they would be chayav to give their portion. V'im, adds the Ramavim, I think the Ramavim, b'chila halchu ba'atzman, ba'achar kach nimilchu lischar achir, and if they started, meaning they said, you know, a bunch of hardy guys, like, how tough could it be to dig a well? We're all going out to dig the well. So they go out at first to dig, and then they realize, yeah, they say, maybe it's better if we pay someone else. So the Talmud Chacham is back in, meaning he would be back in the pool of those that would need to pay. Fine. Aval davar shiutzarach l'shmira se'ir, but if it's a security thing, can go in choma se'ir u'migdol seha, walls or towers, v'schar shomrim, or the paying the watch people, lo ayu chayvim l'asis lehem klum, he doesn't have to pay, she'ein tzrichin shmira she'toras and shmirasa, because the Torah is going to guard him. V'lachein, hayepetur mikol mini masim, bein masis ha'ktuvim al kol b'nei ha'ir, bein masis hu'katsuv al kol ha'ish, levado, bein ha'kavuim, bein she'inan kavuim, v'chayvin b'nei ha'ir lifro b'shvilam, afilu ha'kavuim al kol ha'ish. Therefore, they're exempt from all these different taxes. Now, okay, let's just do the Ramah, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. The Ramah adds in, v'afilim amar ha'hagmon, the hagmon is the tax collector, the officer. Really, it says Melech instead of Hagmon?
Melech.
And you have like Hagmon in parentheses or something?
No, it's for abbreviation afterwards.
Yeah, Shetal Chacham. Right.
Yeah, Shetal Chacham. Okay.
Melech.
I wonder what that would be. Filim Amar. Amelach, Shetamur Chacham Atzman Yitnu, the king says that the Tamur Chacham doesn't get an out. He's paying also. Chayiv Hatzibur Lasseis Ba'adav. Still, the Tzibur has to pay on his behalf. V'im Hachrimu Hatzibur Al Tamur Chacham. And if the Tzibur kind of rebels against him, Litin Ein Becherim Shelahem Klum. There to give, meaning they sort of force him to give. That Cherim doesn't mean anything. The Tamur Chacham Hay Yachul Hachira LeHachrim V'Lishmeis Hatzibur She Yitnu Ba'dodamav, and the Talmud Chacham was able to put them in Chayrim. Ulashamta Tzibur Sheyitnu Ba'dodamav, and Ulashamis, and cause and exclude people until the Tzibur pays his share. Ve'in Chiluk Ima Talmud Chacham Asher Oani. Doesn't matter whether Talmud Chacham is rich or poor; he's going to be exempt from those things. Fine. So that's the first set. So what the Shulchan Aruch seems to, so what did it say? If it's for general good, yes. If it's for protection, no. And this is, and if it's a tax, the tax seems to be no also. So why is that? Is that mean the tax is only going for protection? Or is it not only going for protection? So in the Pesachim, in the footnote here in the Pesachim of Tshuvos, he quotes, he quotes from the Levush that the starting point is that they're paying, that is for something that is for guarding the city, and therefore Tamil Chachamim are putter because the Torah is going to guard them. V'achar kach kasvil, and then he writes, therefore it's putter from all these types of taxes. So why is he putter from all the taxes if it's not only for Shmira, right? In theory, so my thought was, no. The first time I was like, no, that's what the taxes are for. The taxes are for so that the king or whatever will protect. But the Levush, who probably knew the Ramaz and Mechaber society better than I do, seemed to assume that no, the king probably offered them a couple of things in exchange as well. But if you divri halavush, asi shaper sha'af shar hamisim anu mishlimim, rak bishvil sheyishmerenu osanu. That even though they do pay for these other things, the king does give them some sort of thing, whatever. But really, why are they paying it for? They're paying it for in order to get protection. That's really what they're doing, which I think is what is that? Robespierre? Isn't that the Locke or whoever the Declaration of Independence is based on? Right, that concept that we're agreeing to get together in order to for our general protection. Although I think it's a general, does it say general welfare or general protection? I don't remember. But anyways, but he's saying, yeah, but really it's all about protection. That's really why they're paying, and therefore even though there might be some additional money that's going to be requested, and that might even get you some other nice things. Those nice things are really only included in the protection.
Defense is the biggest part of the budget, probably even today.
Well, other than entitlements. Other than entitlements,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's not. I mean, it's what? It's 4. I think it's 4% in Israel, it's something like 12%. I think in America, it's like the second biggest, it's like 4 or 5%. What?
I thought it was high. Okay.
14, 12, 14, something like that. So the. I think that's what Dov Lipman told me when he was here in town.
It's a major function of the government is to protect you.
Yeah. Okay. So that's number one. They also quote here. The Bach raises this issue, and the Bach comments.
So they don't have to pay any tax.
Right.
King's collecting taxes,
right.
Whether it's for defense or for public works.
Right. He said, so the way he's interpreting it, when I read the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be how everybody reads the Shulchan Aruch, though. The way I read it originally was, they don't pay for public works, they do pay for they do pay for protection, and therefore, when there's a tax, therefore they have to pay, they don't pay the tax. Why? Because the they do pay for public works, they don't pay for protection. Therefore, when there's a tax, they don't pay the tax. Why? So I thought, well, the tax goes for protection. But they seem to be reading it and says, no, the tax goes for much more than protection. So they're going to be exempt from taxes, even though the taxes get them some other things. But they would be chayv in public works when everybody agrees that we got to go ahead and do some and do some work together.
And this business about the yeshiva bachurim getting out of the army service, Is that because
they do
the
claim
protect,
that? I mean,
the Torah is protecting.
That's part of
the army?
That is part of the claim. Yes. That right.
I thought it was they would maybe be exposed to things that they want.
Well,
to
there's other. Yes, but I think part of the premise is we don't really need an army. Right. There's more to say about this. So anyways, says the Bach, right? The Bach is Machayish, that other types of taxes, Tamachach we put there from. Why? Because the whole idea that you need to pay taxes is because of Paranus. And then there's another Gemara that comments that why did Paranus come? Paranus only come because of the Yamei Aretz. The only reason that we're stuck in this situation in the first place is that we have the Yamei Aretz causing all these problems. And if everybody was Tamid Chacham, we wouldn't have to pay any taxes at all. So therefore, they're going to be exempt from those. They're going to be exempt from the general taxes. One other idea that, so Piskei Tshuvos here actually is an interesting. He says he diminishes this idea by two ways. I mean, the protection, right? The government protects us. That's therefore we expect there. So of course, it's a protective entity. So therefore, the chacham are going to be pater. So he quotes here from the Ridbaz that it's only when they're protecting you from ganavim. Rak mishvira keneged ganavim. Aval im hi keneged oivim hakamim al hanefesh chayven heim. But if they're coming after your body, if they actually want to kill you and you're being protected from that, so that you would be chayv to pray protection for. I didn't look up the Rabbas to see how he fits that into this issue. Tanya Chacham don't have to worry, their Torah guards them. Mm-hmm. But he makes that distinction. And then the Chassam Sofer on that Gemara, Maseches Bava Basra, also says, Shekol HaPater Mimisim Hudafka Kesha Mimisim Him Mitzad Galus Yisrael. That the issue is only when we're paying taxes because B'nai Yisrael is in Galus. But if it's Aval B'misim L'Shmira Kederach Shemalchus Nishmeres Mimalchios Achirim Chayvim. But if you're paying the tax because you need the government to protect you, like all other governments, you're going to be chayv. I mean, what is this whole exemption? This exemption is when Jews are paying like protection money or something because they're Jews, versus people that are going to come and get them, etc. Therefore, they want someone to protect them. But if they're a country, and every country has a military budget, so then they're back to being chayv.
So they have to pay in Israel.
So So that's what it comes now. That's what it sounds like. Now he lived way before, right? He lived in the 1800s. Okay. He quotes here at the end here from the Shevet Halevi Shetim al Rayana that he raised questions against the proofs that the Chassam Sofer brought. I looked up the Chassam Sofer. I didn't see what his proofs were. Anyways, this is Chassam Sofer out there. Chassam Sofer is a pretty what you would call right-leaning person for these types of things, but the Chassam Sofer, it's also on the Gemara, not necessarily on the Tshuvas, which I'm not sure how that plays in terms of the hierarchy. But anyways, that's the Chassam Sofer. That's called the name of the, that's the Chassam Sofer writes on the Gemara that if it's a regular standard national budget, so one would be chayev to pay.
I think there was some quasi-independent status in Poland at one point in Jewish history. I don't. It's been a little while since
Well, there were these things called the Vad Ha'Avra Aratzos and things like that, but they were never paying. They were only to decide internal issues. They never actually had any type of military or any protection things.
Understand? Okay, but still, it's the entity. You know, I mean, it's independent.
They didn't have independent land, though. They were Jewish communities, and there were people that were appointed to decide the affairs of the Jewish people. But it's not they never had their own country. They weren't controlling territory or anything like that. Okay. But anyways, in that situation, they have their own rights to decide on money, and they're paying a protection fee. So that would be where we would say, oh, the Talmid Chacham perhaps are exempt from that protection fee. I think that's where you would plug something like that in. Okay, so and also whenever these issue of taxes came up, Sir Shachter always pointed out that taxes in like modern day countries we wouldn't really call a mas, we wouldn't really call a tax. Rather, he refers to it more as like a partnership that we're all living b'shutfus, but we all have a stake in it. In theory, everybody gets a vote, and therefore, if everybody decides to spend money in a particular way, so then you're obligated to pay along with everybody else. So that's the status of taxes as opposed to just enriching government or some sort of protection fee, which it was back in the day. Suggests that nowadays is a totally different entity, and to claim in any democratic country that somebody's exempt from taxes for these reasons, he felt it all falls under the category, it seems like to me, it all falls under the category of people paying in order to have ditches dug for them rather than having some kind of protection fee.
What's the basis for parsonage?
Halachically, or
no, I don't know
where did it come from.
Yeah,
I think the theory has to do with that a clergy person has to live near his temple, and he can't always afford to.
Okay.
It's not that. It doesn't help that much.
The Catholic clergy get to live for free,
right?
Because the church owns their properties that they
right.
live in.
Correct.
Therefore, the other clergy from the other denominations say, hey, if the Catholic clergy are getting to live for free, then we also deserve a credit for the places that our clergy live, even if they own the places themselves.
Right.
And that's where, I think that's where the...
I hear, yeah, that also plays in. I mean, the Catholics have to put the clergy someplace, right? So they, I think it was up for debate a little bit when they did the tax reform a year ago. All right, anyways, fine. So, so then the Shulchan Aruch continues on and says, who are these people? All these people whose their Torah is their livelihood. They have a little bit of business. In order to make some money, they to get rich. So he's still referred to as Torah umnasa. Comes the Rama and says, "Ve'ein chiluk bein shu toseis yeshiva olo, rak shu muchzak l'tamar chacham." It doesn't matter whether he, I think it means, has
has a yeshiva or not. Like, it doesn't matter, I mean, if he has an institution or not. His question is whether he's a Talmud Chacham in his generation. Sheyudea Lisa Velite Mitori. He knows how to deal in Torah. Umeven Midaisu Barov Makomus HaTalmud. I can understand most of the places in the Gemara. Upeirushav Ubepiske HaGaonim. And their explanations and the Psak of the Gaonim. V'Torasu Umnasu Kedarach Nisbar. And that's his main source of livelihood, is his Torah. Where does that idea come from? So here he pointed to that, that there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. It seems to lay out what a Talmud Chacham is. Ve'er Talmud Chacham, Le'inyan Kol Dinei Talmud Chacham, Chacham Mevor, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Yudal Amos says, Eizu Talmud Chacham, what is a Talmud Chacham? Kol Shesholin Oso Halacha B'chol Makom Ve'omra. That if you could ask him a halacha anywhere, and he'd give you the answer. That he knows all the Masechtas and Shas in a way that if you asked him something, he'd be able to have something to answer you. Not necessarily that he would know the, right? Even though he's not necessarily involved with it, he knows it well enough that he can refer to other mesechtas. And even if he forgets it by accident, even after a while he forgets some of those things, he would still, once you're sort of granted the status of Talmud Chacham, so you continue to maintain that status. So v'afal gav, then the Rambam says, but even though the aim b'doreinu achshav chacham l'inyan sheyitnu lo litra d'dava imivaisho, and even though nowadays in our generation we don't paskin that if you embarrass Talmud Chacham you give him a litra d'dava, what is that talking about? A gold, some kind of golden coin. So I couldn't. The Beis Yosef, someplace else, quotes this from the Yerushalmi. There's some kind of din. I don't know where to go further than it, though. I didn't look up the Yerushalmi itself. But there's some kind of halacha that if you embarrass a Talmud Chacham, you pay this litra de dava. This dava is gold. A litra is a liter. Right? So a gold coin. So even though that halacha doesn't apply, to exempt him from this tax, we don't necessarily give him a faher like this, just as long as he's established to be a Talmud Chacham, as we understand. There are places where he's exempt, and then there are places where he is not exempt. So that the Ramah seems to be hedging a little bit, and whether this would be applicable today. So in the Pesachim Mitzvos, he says, yeah, this is going off of the general. So does this apply, Bizman Azeh or not? And some say that it's relative. He quotes it as being a machlok as we've shown him. Some say that it's relative to the age, and some say that it's that it's not relative to the age, and therefore would not be applicable Bizman Azeh. So then he suggests that the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that all these halachas apply Bizman Azeh, because nowhere does he say these don't apply today, and he's passing them all in Shulchan Aruch, implying that he's going to continue to apply apply today. But the Ramah says no, that we find some of these halachos that they're not going to apply today. However, some of them do. So you kind of have to go through, I guess as we go through the siman, we'll see that the Ramah will comment some of them are continued to be applicable today, and some of them are not necessarily going to continue to be applicable. Fine. Conclude with Gimel here. Says, let's say he's a Talmud Chacham, but he's mezalzel. He's not shomer. He's mezalzel mitzvos. He doesn't have Yerushimayim, so he doesn't get the status of Talmud Chacham. He doesn't get the tax exemption. A tax exemption only goes to somebody who's Talmud Chacham, Yerushimayim, and all those kinds of things. And he's a kal shebetzibur. Why is he? What does it mean a kal shebetzibur? He's like lowest in the congregation, even though he is a Talmud Chacham and he doesn't act in a respectable manner, and he's not Shomer Torah mitzvos, so then he is pushed down, because not only that actually is a disheartening thing. Those kinds of those people who know everything and then right, it's like a disinspiration to do things. So therefore, he sort of gets the boot. Okay. So these are some of the halachas some of the other issues about him getting first. He almost gets the status as a kohen, it seems like, in some places. And we'll see, I guess, how that's applicable in the weeks to come.